Hello and welcome to Fatima Today. This show is produced by the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army, and brings topics to you, our viewers, related to the events in the world today. We live in tumultuous times when logic seems to have disappeared and uncertainty hangs over us. Our hope on these programs is to address the issues of the day and find solutions through adherence to the laws of God, especially through the message of Fatima. We ask that you subscribe to this podcast.
Welcome to Fatima Today. I'm your host, Barb Ernster. I'm here with my co-host, Katie Moran. Welcome, Katie.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. I love it.
So Katie and I are doing a series of podcasts, especially through Lent, delving into many of the things that Venerable Sister Lucia teaches us about Fatima and about living right with God. Today, we're going to talk about love God above all else. And we're going to delve into the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. But let's start with a Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lucia writes, primarily in her book, Calls from the Message of Fatima, she really took the Fatima message and placed it in the heart of the gospel message. And so a lot of our material comes from her. That's how we've learned from Sister Lucia. And she writes, God is merciful and is always ready to forgive us as soon as he sees in us our own repentance and desire of amendment, turning away from the path of sin to embark on the path of grace. And so during Lent, this is something that reminds us that we are being called to repentance and to amend our lives, not just to say, I'm sorry, and go on doing, amend the things that are constantly needing to be turned around. And this is part of how we prove our love for God above all else.
Yeah, and this Fatima is, it's a call to this. And I love this one quote from Sister Lucia. Again, it's probably from Calls, everything it is, because I learned that from when I wrote my book, Mary's Gentle Path. But Lucia, she wrote, the fact is that we all need to obtain God's pardon for our lack of faith, which is often so fragile, for our hope, which is often so weak, and for our charity, which is often so cold and insensitive, and for our adoration, which is often so languid. Now, we ask pardon for those who do not believe, for those who do not adore, for those who do not hope, and those who do not love. But we very often, I think, we forget to include ourselves in that. Mm-hmm. Because it's not that we don't believe. It's because sometimes it's not as strong as it should be. I love St. John. I love St. Paul's quote. He talks about the three theological virtues. They're from God. They're the principal ones. That's what they teach us, that you can read in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But he talks about faith and hope, you know, how much we need it. But he says, in heaven, the only one that'll be with us is charity. So of these three theological virtues, we have two that get us to heaven. Faith, you know, to believe, even though we don't believe. And you can always say these short prayers, my God, I believe, help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. My God, I hope, help me from despairing. You know, my God, I love, increase my love. But the first two are the ones that are going to get us to heaven. We believe and we hope. We hope that God will give us the graces we need for final perseverance and the grace of salvation. And hope, the devil tempts against that. There's despair, you know, meaning we cannot believe God can forgive us. And there's presumption, which, oh, I'm so good, there's nothing I have to do. So that's how we sin against the virtue of hope, through despair and presumption. And I think we see a lot of that in the world today. What do you think?
Oh,
you
know, absolutely.
Everybody's depressed.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah, it's hard for people to find hope in their day. And I, frankly, it's getting hard even for me. And I'm, you know, I'm a pretty chipper person.
Yeah.
But I really have to constantly go to Christ in the Eucharist. I have to get to Mass. I have to say my prayers. If I even go a day without doing very well in my prayers, I can see my hope diminishing. I can see where I'm slipping. And so it's tough to be a soldier for Christ today, because the world around us is not doing it. And so you're often really on your own doing it privately. You meet so many people that they don't even give it a second thought. But I feel like, you know, Pope Benedict XVI said the church was going to get very small, but it was going to get very holy. And I feel like we're being squeezed a little bit. And so we're in a little bit of a spiritual boot camp right now. But we know that there's going to be a springtime of hope, as John Paul II had said. There's going, you know, the church rises and falls, civilizations rise and fall, and we're kind of in a time in history where a civilization appears to be falling. And so we're all experiencing that.
Yeah, and I want to just touch on one thing. You mentioned Soldier for Christ, and that brought to mind confirmation. Confirmation makes you a soldier of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it has gotten to be a very sacrament that is people just don't push to get their children to get. You know what I mean? They put it off and put it off and put it off. And it is one of the sacraments that has the mark on the soul. In eternity, you'll see that mark. There's the mark of the priesthood, the mark of baptism, and of course, confirmation puts a mark on us and makes us a soldier for Christ. And years ago, I did some reading. It's one of the popes in the 1700s. He wrote that it borders on very serious sin to neglect to make sure that children receive the sacrament of confirmation. And in the Western church, some of them are getting it. See, the sacrament of confirmation prepares them to fight Satan, to be that soldier whenever it comes at them. And they're holding it off. Like years ago, they held it off till they were 17 and 18. And I'm like, wow, you've missed the boat. They were teenagers. They really did some bad things. Now in the Eastern tradition, confirmation is given by the priest at baptism. So that sacrament can kick in whatever age the children need it. So they can be this soldier for Christ to stand up to the sin and the temptations of the world.
Yeah, and oftentimes, you know, confirmation is looked upon as graduation from catechism classes and
yeah.
Graduation from your faith. You're done. You've done your duty, you've gotten your confirmation, and now you're off. So, but often with the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, and each of us get, you know, a wonderful set of gifts that God wants us to use, they just sit there dormant unless we start to seek them. And when we do seek God in our lives and the Holy Spirit, then he will uncover those gifts and we'll be able to use them rightly for him. I don't know if you've ever done the Called and Gifted program. I think it's produced by the St. Catherine Siena Institute.
I never heard of it.
A wonderful program. Our parish did it, where you can uncover what are the gifts, and you'll find that you have many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but several of them score higher. And then the church can use them, you know, they'll say, okay, well, this person has a gift of leadership, or that person has a gift of mercy, or this one has a gift of hospitality. So it's a good way for a parish to be able to identify the people in their parish that are gifted in a particular way to be able to carry out certain duties. And it's also good for you to understand your gifts, because I loved it when somebody said, you will find that you don't have a certain gift, and then you realize that's why something is very difficult for you. And I discovered that I did not have the gift of administration. And so it was difficult for me to delegate. I delegate jobs. I found that was a freeing thing for me to find out that I did not have the gift that allowed me to delegate work. I'm the type that just charges in and does it myself. So it's a good personality test too, to understand your personality.
And people don't realize when you get baptism and confirmation, you know, the Holy Spirit comes with the three theological virtues, which we're talking about. But they also got to realize he comes with his seven gifts and his 12 fruits. Now, don't ask me to talk them off the top of my head. I used to know them. I don't always can't repeat them back. But you need to look those up, because those are what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you should pray for the Holy Spirit to bring you his seven gifts, his 12 fruits, and his four, and also his four cardinal virtues. Cardinal means hinge. And these four cardinal virtues are what hinge our spiritual life and help us grow. So there's a lot the Holy Spirit brings us besides just these three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. And we need to realize that. Now, Sister Lucia, in that quote that I read to you that I really liked, she continued, "It follows that we must not harbor resentment, ill will, dislike, or still less, a desire to avenge any offense, whether great or small, that one or other of our neighbors may have committed against us. Our forgiveness must be generous, complete, and self-sacrificing, in the sense of overcoming ourselves. It'll be necessary to silence within us the cry of revolt, to calm excited nerves, to keep a firm grasp on the reins of our own temper, and keep a lid on the heat of our wounded self-love, which, whether rightly or wrongly, feels bruised and irritated. And I'll tell you, that I don't know when she wrote that, but that sums up what's going on today. Yeah. Wounded self-love. And I mean, and they push it. They don't sit there and say, well, your self-love's been wounded, you know. People just shoot off in their mouths. They revolt. They're not calm. I mean, it's a wonder. I mean, I'm thinking this is the most medicated generation I've ever seen. Because look at what's on TV, Barb.
Yeah.
Take this drug for depression. Oh, you're depressed and you're having side effects. Well, this drug will take away those side effects and make you feel better and take the depression. And I'm thinking, you're taking medicine upon medication, and I'm sure it's needed. I am no way condemning modern medicine. It's wonderful. But sometimes you need to sit down and go to confession.
Well, you talk about this wounded self-love. There's a lot of wounded people walking around. We're all wounded. And there's a lot of this, to see these signs, love is love. Well, what does that mean? Love is love. Love is to not will, you know, to will the good of the other. It's sacrificial. Nobody is willing to make sacrifices for anybody anymore. And everybody's pointing fingers and attacking and the victim, but nobody is forgiving. And forgiveness, when we don't forgive, that's when our hearts become bitter. We become more uncharitable. So forgiveness is tied right into love. If we're going to learn how to love, we have to learn how to forgive. And this is where we practice the acts of mercy towards others. Lucia had once said that oftentimes the things that wound us the most are from people who had no intention of hurting us.
Yeah.
So, you know, to forgive someone because maybe they didn't even have the intention of hurting you, but it came out the wrong way. And so that seems to be what's going on in our culture. I know, Katie, that the church has come up with many more healing ministries. There's one called Unbound.
I've heard of that one.
It's a wonderful new ministry. You know, there's many people seeking exorcists nowadays because they think they're possessed, but a lot of people are walking around oppressed. They're oppressed and Satan likes to attack us in our wounds. The Unbound ministry helps you to lead you through a forgiveness process of the, maybe you were wounded as a child by a very serious, maybe somebody abused you as a child. And so you're carrying around that wound. But whatever the wounds are, whether they're really, really deep and traumatic or they're not as deep, but this Unbound ministry helps lead you through a process of forgiveness so that you can be free. That wound is no longer going to be used by Satan to attack you. And many people have found great healing through this. So I think as the culture declines into this state of incivility and anxiety and victimhood and anger, and you know, the further we get away from God, the more chaos ensues. The church is trying to bring people back to healing through these new ministries. I'm noticing even in my diocese in the St. Paul, Minneapolis, there's more and more churches doing healing masses. So our world is in desperate need of great healing at this time.
Yeah. And most people have got to realize that Satan attacks you in many ways, but obsession seems to be his main thing. You know, you're obsessed and the evil spirits are around you, but they're not at you. They're not in you. You're not possessed. And obsession is something that I liked what you said. We need to pray. We need to be prayed over. You don't even need to go to a healing service. You can ask your priest to pray over you for to be unbounded. You know what I mean? And that's something you can pray for. And I'll tell you, devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is one way to keep the devil away from you.
Right.
Because where she is, he is not.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, he'd rather be in the depths of hell. And this was something that was revealed to one of the saints. Satan would rather be in the depths of hell suffering unbelievable torment than to be anywhere near the Mary Immaculate. You know, so she has great power. And we've got to realize, of course, that power was given to her by her Son and God. You know, it's not something she earned on her own. But because of her love of God and love of us and being at the foot of the cross. And that's one thing to meditate during Lent is Our Lady's role in our redemption. So enough people look at that.
Yeah. So our loving God above all else calls us to forgiveness and mercy, as the Lord said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those as well. So this is, you know, look at what are the ways you need to forgive somebody else during Lent, and including yourself. Maybe there's something you can't forgive in yourself, you know, let it go, bring it to Jesus at the foot of the cross. That's why he went to the cross for us, so that we had a place to bring all of our sorrows. Katie, you were going to talk about something from Venerable Pope Martin.
Oh, yes. It was something I read today, and I really, really liked it. And he talks about a challenge from our Lord. And I think this is something that's very big today, very important. I mean, Sister Lucia points to it. But he wrote, and remember, when he wrote this probably in the late 60s, early 70s, because he died in 1979. So it really apropos for today. So instead of 30 or 40 years ago, maybe we're going 50 or 60. But he wrote, 30 or 40 years ago, it was easy to be a Christian. I grew up in that culture. The very air we breathed was Christian. He's right on that. Bicycles could be left on our front lawns. Doors could be left unlocked. Suddenly all this changed. Now we have to affirm our faith. And that's a good thing, he said. He said, we live in a world that challenges us, but many fall away. Dead bodies float downstream, and it takes live bodies to resist the current. And this is our summons. He's talking to spiritual death. He said, we will have to begin to be a different church. We are for a moment on a trapeze. We are between the death of an old civilization and culture and the swing to the beginning of a new one. And these are the times in which we live. They are therefore wonderful days, marvelous. We should thank God that we live in the times like this. So, I mean, he's sort of telling us, look at the good side of it. You know, the church is changing. It's being renewed. Yeah. And the church is always renewing. And I think the renewal is going to be a lot different than what we expect. It's going to be more of a spiritual renewal in which there won't be as many. It'll maybe a smaller church. I don't know. You know, it's something that people talk about. But the church is in a renewal phase. And I think this is part of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yeah, and God always pulls us out of the trash heap throughout all of his history. And it seems like we repeat history over and over again. If you look at all the ancient civilizations, the great civilizations have fallen. The United States is one of the great civilizations of the modern era. And I don't want to say it's falling. I hope it's not. But we certainly see it in great decline right now. And that's because we have gotten away from God. We have gotten away from placing him first in our lives and thanking him for our blessings. And so Venerable Fulton Sheen, you know, he was almost prophetic in the ways in which he was seeing the world, and he understood what was happening. And we still learn from him when we listen to him. We're living through the things he said at that time that maybe at the time people were like, what's he talking about? You know, 40s and 50s and 60s, things were pretty good. It was post-World War II. The economy was good. People were getting married and having children. There was still, you know, on every corner there was a church and the bells were ringing and the wonderful things that were coming out of Hollywood at that time. But look how quickly it declined. And he saw it coming.
Yeah, very prophetic. You know, I mean, that's another thing. You know, this is the third week of Lent. You know, go online. Bishop Fulton Sheen wrote so much. And there's any one of his books you can pick up. He wrote little ones, big ones, you know. Just sort of Google books by Venerable Fulton Sheen and you'll find some, and maybe one will catch your eye, or if you have one at home, pick it up and read it. The one I just quoted from, my son got me for Christmas, and it's called Throughout the Year with Fulton Sheen. Mm-hmm. So it was it was put out by Ignatius Press. So it's not somebody commenting on him. It's just that they have taken writings from all of his vast writings, and they give you something to read each day, you know, and the guy put a little topic to it, challenge from our Lord. The world is our testing ground. So every day there's something there. And it's really very good to read. And I've enjoyed reading it so far. So I think I'm going to really love going my whole year. And this is, again, one of those, if you don't have time to read or you're not a reader, this is what I read is what you would read for the day. Very short and very concise. And it's I think he's resourced a lot of Schultz Fulton Sheen's writings because he wrote over 30 or 40 books. It's not just one or two. The only one I know who is prolific a writer as him is our founder of our organization, John Hafford. How many books has he written, Barb? Oh, I don't know. I've lost track.
35, something like that.
So he's up there with Fulton Sheen in books that they've written. So that's one thing you can do. You know, get and read him, because he's very inspirational. I don't know of anybody that doesn't draw fruit from when they read from what he's written. I just recently got my niece interested in reading him. She absolutely loves him. You know, she was she finally got her degree in nursing, and she's working as a nurse, so she's got time to read. So she asked me, who can I read? And I gave her a book on one of Fulton Sheen's books, and she loved it. So he appeals to the young and to the old today. He's timeless. And I don't know how quickly his canonization is moving forward. They have everything ready for beatification. The last I heard, this was a couple of years ago, is they were fighting, and that's the word lightly, of where the body would be. Would it be upstate New York where he was bishop, or in Indiana where he was born? So they're sort of trying to decide who's going to get the body, and that's what's holding up the beatification of Fulton Sheen, and I think that's terrible.
I thought it was Peoria, Illinois. Is that where?
I'm sorry, Peoria, yeah. Illinois. Yeah. You're right, Barb.
I think the body is in Peoria right now.
So maybe it can move forward, and his beatification mm-hmm. can happen. Yeah. So he's really interesting. But if we want to move on what we're talking about, love God above all else, there is a saint, and I call her truly Saint Mary Magdalene. Is the saint for anybody who's been a sinner. You know, she is the patron saint of sinners, because she loved much and she had many sins, and so much was forgiven. Therefore, she loved our Lord immensely enough that once she was converted, she never left his side, including going to Calvary. I mean, she could have, you know, they could have killed her, but she didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she is truly the saint of the times too, because there's so many people that have so many sins, and maybe they don't know that God's forgiven them as much as he forgave her.
And she was rewarded by being the first person Jesus appears to after his resurrection.
Yep.
I mean, that's such a beautiful relationship, that she loved him so much because he freed her. He freed her from all these things that weighed her down. We were just talking about that in the last segment. You know, the things, the woundedness that causes us to live a lifestyle that we're not really called to live, or to pursue a lifestyle, because we don't see our self-worth. God sees it. That's what God wants to heal in us. And that's how we can love him above all else, when we allow him to work in us. And so Mary Magdalene's a great example. She's also an example of the woman that was caught in adultery. Lucia mentions her because Jesus forgives her of this sin that would have, you know, the others wanted to stone her to death, because it was such a, I don't know what would happen to the man, but the woman was supposed to be stoned to death. And he says, has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, sir. And he says, then neither do I, but go and sin no more. God always calls us to go and sin no more. But we talked about, you know, Lucia talks about, it was from this same point of view that Jesus addressed the people who were content with seeming to be good in the eyes of others without bothering whether or not they were good in the eyes of God. And we see a lot of that in the world today. There's, you know, we see other people's sins so easily, but we're not willing to look at ourselves. And so we're hypocrites.
We judge, and we're not supposed to judge, lest we be judged. You know, we're like the Pharisee, or the Pharisee who said, look how good I am, Lord. I'm not like those sinners, you know. And I think there's a lot of Pharisees out in the world today that are constantly looking at the sins of others. They're seeing the splinter of other people and not seeing that plank in their eye that our Lord talked about. And again, that's self-reflection. That's unwillingness to say, I am a sinner. I can do wrong. You know, I think there's a big narcissistic attitude in the world today. I mean, I'm constantly running to people where they're not wrong. They do nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. It's always somebody else's fault, you know. And narcissism can be very, very, you know, just little, or it can be really severe, where you don't even want to be around a person who's narcissistic. I mean, they never do anything wrong, mm-hmm. even when they're caught. And that's because they can't see what their own self is. And again, that's what the apostolate it's called to, or to love God above all else. And when we love God above all else, then we look around and love our neighbor as ourself, and we pray for them.
And this leads, though, this narcissism and this attitude of judging others. And we see it played out on the national media like crazy, this cancel. I've just chosen to ignore
Yeah.
That I don't know that you can believe half of what you hear. And I hope other people are learning to ignore that so you can get better peace in your heart and soul. If you turn off the mainstream media and all the noise that's out there, you'll find a more civil society underneath and more serenity. But what this is leading to, all of this comes from a lukewarmness, lukewarm approach to God. I'm just good. I don't murder. I don't steal from people. I don't do this. You're just good. You're just barely. And Jesus himself said, you know, in the book of Revelation, it's better that you're hot or cold than lukewarm. He would vomit you out. You're nothing to him. You don't produce anything. You're not effective. We have to be careful that our love for God doesn't slip into lukewarmness and apathy, because he's not going to know us when we get to, he's going to say, I don't know you. When we standing at the doors of heaven saying, Lord, Lord, he'll say, I don't know you. That always gave me great fear that I would die and God would say, I don't know you.
That's a horrifying thought. And people today have got to pull themselves out of this apathy they're in. I mean, this lukewarmness. I mean, it is a big, it's all over. You know, they're just getting by and they're content and they don't want to rock the boat. And we got to realize some of our greatest saints were very, you know, really strong in their sins. You know, Mary Magdalene, Saint Augustine, Saint Paul, just to name a few. You know, when they turned 100%. So they were never lukewarm. And that's a temptation of Satan today. Oh, you're okay. You know, you don't do anything bad, so don't worry about it. If God calls you to do a little bit more, he's calling you to, you know, step out of your comfort zone and do things for him.
Yeah. Jesus called very hard for repentance and changing your way of life. When he healed the 10 people with leprosy, the men that had leprosy, and the one came back to thank him. And oftentimes he would heal somebody and he'd say, now go and change, you know, amend your life or something worse will befall you.
Yeah.
And so there was always a call to change your life. There was not, you know, he wasn't just sprinkling fairy dust on people and being a magician. He was calling people to amendment of life. And even at Fatima, Lucia would bring to her, to our Blessed Mother, many appeals for people who wanted to be cured. And Our Lady would say, some I will cure, others they need to change their life. God's more concerned with our spiritual bodies, our spiritual health, and how we're going to be when we stand before him. And Jesus, you know, referring to the woman who was caught in adultery, he tells the people, the harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you. So we have to be careful of, you know, we're so eager in our culture to heap on condemnation on somebody in the public square. And we're not thinking about what it is they might be going through themselves. We're not looking at ourselves. It's so easy to point fingers and just condemn and judge. But how many of us are truly changing our lives and amending them and turning away from sin and seeking God first? That is what Lent should be about. How are we failing in this way?
Yeah, and Our Lady's last words at Fatima, because it was, do not offend the Lord our God anymore, because he's already so much offended. And we know as she said these words, she lowered her hands to the ground and the miracle of the sun. But those were her last words. You know, it could have been a lot of things that she left as her final message. But it's the essence. We must stop offending God. And in 1917, it wasn't just the world at that time being sinful. Our Lady, you know, because there's no time in eternity, so everything is before God. So she's, as a mother, she sees all this that's going to happen. And she's asking us, he's too much offended. She's holding up his arm of justice. I'll tell you what, if Sodom and Gomorrah and even the world at the time of the flood had the Mother of God interceding for them, I don't know if we would have had the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah would have been destroyed.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought to take away from today, you know.
And how much are we holding, because of her, you know, even in the third secret, the angel was about to strike the earth with a flaming sword that would set it on fire, and the Blessed Mother holds up her hand and prevents him. But then, you know, she's calling for us to take up our cross and follow Christ. So during Lent, you know, if we truly love God, we should look at the ways in which we need to forgive, the ways in which we're being a narcissist and a hypocrite and judging others, and not willing to amend our own lives so that we can love God with above all else. So those are the things to look at, to check yourself whether you're loving God, and to please be careful of lukewarmness. How yes. are you being lukewarm? Even if, you know, you fail one day, you're lukewarm one day, get up the next day and be hot or cold. At least be one or the other. So any final words, Katie? We're kind of running out of time.
Yes, it's just that this is your third week of Lent. You're like halfway through. This was a good show to talk about evaluating where your Lent's going. So let's make sure, let's get us back on the path again. You know, we are preparing our souls for the great joy of Easter.
And don't be afraid to dig deep into yourself. Take a good hard look, because yeah. God wants to reveal these things because he wants to draw us closer to him. We can't be drawn close to him if we're weighed down by sin and mired in our own anxieties and low self-worth. He wants to raise us above all of that. He wants us to know him. And he sees us. He wants us to see ourselves the way he sees us. And he wants us to know our great potential.
And we need to remember that all your crosses and sufferings today that'll come to you come from the hand of God, who ordains and puts things for you. You know what I mean? Because it's like a medicine for us. So don't be upset, you know, that you feel like God's not there. Everything that comes from him is for your own good.
So thank you for joining us today. We hope you'll be back with us next week, and have a good rest of your week.
Thank you very much.